The resolution on Tackett's Lake looked like any one of the 24 or so resolutions the Assembly may consider in a year, but Utility Director Charlie Wall said the Tackett's resolution was charting a course for the future.
This is a major deal, not to me anyway. You're resolving to decrease dependence on oil, develop our renewable energy resources. That says a whole lot.
Wall said the resolution represented instructions to staff that were probably more important than the grant application itself. In today's dollars, the Tackett's Lake project would cost an estimated $200 million and effectively double Sitka's hydroelectric supply, creating a surplus that could be marketed to other communities via the proposed Southeast Electrical Intertie. That massive project didn't pencil out for Sitka when oil was selling for $20 a barrel. At $120 a barrel and beyond, what once looked unrealistic is starting to look manageable, especially for a state government flush with cash. Assemblymember Jack Osman asked Walls if the details of the Tackett's project had changed over the last few years.
We're looking at running a power line over the mountain or putting some kind of a tunnel in, or would that be part of what the feasibility study will do for us?
That's all part of it. It's not just feasibility, it's also environmental studies to see what the impact would be, and cultural studies, as well as the engineering and economics involved in all that. But the scope of the project would be, yes, to build a power line across the island to connect the Tackett's Lake, which is on the other side of the island, through the Baranof River Valley. And we'd drill a tunnel through the mountain, come out in the Medovichi River Valley on the other side, and the power line come on in, tie into our existing Green Lake transmission line.
Wall said the state may dust off plans to build a road along the utility corridor, or a new idea, build an electric railroad. Wall said that even if all the pieces fell into place, Sitka wouldn't see the project until at least 2020. The Assembly voted unanimously to pursue the grant funding. Assembly opinion about investment in wood heat, also known as biomass heat, for city-owned buildings was considerably less enthusiastic. They declined to support a resolution offering up $13,000 in local matching funds for a $60,000 reconnaissance study on the feasibility of wood-generated heat for facilities like the airport, high school, and Centennial Building. Dan Parent with the Sitka Energy Work Group, an informal committee of Forest Service, Conservation, Tribal, and other organizations interested in biomass, had prepared a detailed calculation of the amount of wood required to displace fuel oil in Sitka at a rough equivalent of one cord per 90 gallons of diesel. It amounted to over 12,000 cords per year to cover every public building, including the air station, Search, and Mount Edgecombe, plus 800 Sitka homes. Parent said it can and has been done.
This is not technology that hasn't been proven elsewhere. In the Northeast, and especially in Vermont, about 60% of the kids go to schools that are heated with wood.
Parent said that modern wood-fired heating equipment met EPA standards for air quality and would not contribute to the smoky inversions that were common in Sitka when many homes used wood stoves 20 years ago. He added that the city of Craig was heating its school and swimming pool with wood, and he encouraged assembly members to review that project. Sitka District Ranger Carol Goulart told the assembly she was understaffed to immediately supply firewood, but she saw possibilities in the 400 acres of timber that will be cut to raise the Blue Lake Dam and in the availability of otherwise uneconomical utility logs and commercial timber sales near Hoonah. Goulart thought an ongoing demand for wood heat would create 6 to 8 jobs in the Sitka district. She added, quote, "If there's a market for the wood, we'll make the wood available," close quote. The biggest critic on the assembly of investment in wood heat was 40-year Forest Service veteran John Sherrod. He said the current political climate made it very difficult to cut trees.
I have a strong concern about the ability of the well-meaning Forest Service in this thing to, in the social times that we're in, to be able to provide this wood fiber. It's a long way to Hoonah. Most of the good timber on the Tongass Forest is in the southern half of the forest. If we were down at Ketchikan or Craig, I'd say this might be a lot more feasible proposal.
Sherrod did not want the city to be a guinea pig and suggested leaving the exploration of biomass to the private sector. Scott Snelson, a Sitka-based staff officer for the Tonga Supervisor's Office, suggested that the barriers to biomass energy production in the forest were lower than the commercial timber harvests recalled by Sherrod.
A lot of the fiber that can be produced is actually from wildlife and fisheries enhancement activities. When you thin stands, you let light down to the forest floor, there's a benefit to wildlife that we all have an interest in. So I think the fabric of the conflict has changed over the last decade.
Nevertheless, the assembly deferred to what they regarded as Sherrod's expertise in the matter. He said, quote, "The Forest Service can't guarantee anything," close quote. The vote was 1-6, with only Reber Stein in favor of putting up matching funds for the wood heat study. He said, "At the very least, it will tell us how to do something better. At the most, it may tell us something revolutionary." Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.